Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to episode 27 of the Official Geek Speak podcast. I am your host, Sean. And joined as always is my co-host, Josh Seasons Beatings, Rudy Rudolph. This is a podcast. This is that thing called you listen to. Podcasting, where you watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for?
Indeed, it is the time of seasons beatings.
Not yet. No.
How dare you lie?
But that's what your name is now. You have watched that trailer, right?
Yes.
We'll get to that. We last recorded about 2 weeks ago / 1 month ago, depending on how you think of it. We fixed the time-space continuum from last episode, so we should be good now.
Hopefully. If it breaks again, you'll know.
That includes our Miracle in Lane 2 thoughts this episode instead of last episode, and if you listened to last episode, you know why. Oh my god. It's been a time. It's been a little bit since we sat down and recorded, Josh.
Just a wee bit.
How you doing?
I'm fine. A little bit tired, but a little bit chill, so it's all cool.
I think you're high.
Oh, I'm high on life, baby.
Oh, God. Every episode, we go through a different Disney Channel original movie, or DCOM for short, and we'll see how in a short period of time, the biggest media corporation on Earth, Disney, caters towards solely children with a large sample size, and we'll see any quality changes, etc. And this episode, we're doing Miracle in Lane 2, the Frankie Muniz film, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. After that, we also have our news section about weekly geeky and nerdy news, followed by our main topic for the episode, which is in the title. And then we end it with a thing called Super Weird Stories, where I go through a different problematic or wholesome or silly or weird, just whatever kind of story from comic books or involving comic books or superheroes. That's our episode. That's our show.
Crazy. It's almost like we have a pattern.
Also, She-Hulk is almost over.
So sad.
That's fun so far. Matt Murdock is a slut.
He is, and we stand for it. Murdock is a whore.
Which also, we're not shaming anyone for.
Never.
Just saying that we love him, and we love what they're doing. That's great. Oh, you've seen Werewolf by Night. I've not watched it yet. I'm watching it for next week's episode. You enjoyed it?
It is a lot of fun. Michael Giacchino's directorial debut. For those who don't know, he's composed most like major Hollywood movies lately, like the Batman and the Spider-Man Tom Holland trilogy.
And Incredibles.
Does a great job as director.
Incredibles.
Yes.
I love that it's his debut and he did a great job. That sounds great to me. It's got Jack Russell in it, and it's got Man-Thing. And other characters? Question mark?
Potentially. It's got peoples.
What have you watched lately that's non-superhero-y and not spooky either?
That's a wonderful question.
Oh, you saw Avatar.
I did.
Not the good one? You saw the bad blue... You saw the one that James Cameron did.
It's not bad, it's just mediocre. Like, to anyone that thinks that it's good, you have seen Ferngully or Pocahontas before, right? Like, okay, it's just those.
Pocahontas, have you seen any of those? Pocahontas is not good.
I've seen Ferngully way back when.
Ferngully and what's is funny, good.
What's funny is that I saw this at the Alamo, and they played clips of stuff of random things before the movie. They literally played the trailer for Ferngully before the movie. They know what it is. So that's just funny to me. What have we seen recently?
It's also just cultural appropriation. But also, Unobtainium is the medal in it.
That movie got nominated for Best Picture, and they Cameron couldn't even figure out an interesting name for the magic mineral that we never find out its purpose, so he calls it unobtainium. What the hell?
You've not seen Smile yet, correct?
Not yet. I've been meaning to.
It's. I have a lot of thoughts on it. I don't want to get into it right now. Bros was really fun.
Yes, I saw Bros. Great time. Very funny.
It's a very funny movie. And it's good seeing Billy Eichner do something that's not just screaming.
I mean, yeah.
Because I'm not asking him to tone it down, but like, it's nice seeing that he has a lot more range than just being loud. Like, he is on Parks and Rec. I think he's funny, but not always as funny as he could be. Also, I love that his co-star has been known for Hallmark movies, and they make fun of Hallmark constantly.
I literally looked it up before after the movie just to see what he was in. He was in Hallmark, and the movie makes fun of Hallmark movies. That's great. Yep. I love that.
I finally saw Ocean's 11. I'd never seen it before.
I've only seen Ocean's 8. It's not a prequel, but it's still weird. That's the only one I've seen.
Is Danny Ocean in Ocean's 8?
He's referenced. Sandra Bullock plays his sister.
Oh, okay. I'm like, who? Which ocean is it? Okay. It's a good movie.
I've heard.
They don't give you any time with any character, because there's 11 of them.
Hey, holy, it keeps going up.
I know. That's why I'm like nervous to watch Ocean's 13, for instance. Like, there's going to be too many people. 11 was hard. Okay. But Don Cheadle's British in it, so that's fun.
I've heard.
And he likes big booms. DCOM time, I guess?
Okay.
So, a little bit ago, we watched a movie called Miracle in Lane 2. We watched this movie, I think, in August?
Probably.
Yes. Because August is when D23 happened. We watched this during our Turtles episode that never aired. I want to look up when I watched Miracle in Lane 2 now. Because this is going to be interesting. September 9th, sorry, is when I watched it. So it's been about a month. I do have notes still, but overall it's going to be a short recap. Because we already did a whole long one that, if you listen to the last episode, cannot be aired. I could not salvage this audio. It was bad. We also did a whole episode on the history of the creation of the Ninja Turtles and their entire evolution throughout time. And again, none of it is salvageable, and that's so frustrating. I lost my voice for a day because of this. Josh, Miracle Lane 2, we both still give a yay to?
I give it a yay.
Good movie? Fun time?
Yeah. Fun time. Frankie Muniz could always be fun.
Tut Watkins was from Parks and Recreation as Pistol Pete was God in this, so that's fun.
His talks with God I always found to be just kind of out of nowhere, but also pretty funny.
If you've not heard of Miracle in Lane 2, it's on Disney Plus. You should go watch it. It's pretty fun. It's a really fun Disney Channel movie that I guess transcends what that usually means. It's just a decent movie overall, and it got me emotional at one point because it's about siblings for a lot of it, and this is probably one of the best depictions of siblings I've seen on screen in a while, and like of the family dynamic. What's the story, Josh?
Boy who's was born with diseases that hinder his body, so like he can't walk, he has to use a wheelchair and stuff, has to go to the hospital, get fluid drained from his brain, a lot of fun stuff. He wants to just kind of like prove to himself and his family that like, you know, he is able and capable of doing stuff that like his brother could do, like sports and physicality. And so rather than do like, you know, traditional sports, he decides he's going to do soapbox derby, build a car, race it down the street, that kind of fun stuff.
I zoned out, but I'm going to go with yes. He ruins a trophy, and then he tries to find different ways to get one, like playing chess. After learning studying chess for 3 days, he loses in chess.
It's almost like you need a little bit more time to be able to do that.
To do a chess tournament against... And then his brother has a wall of trophies, so and he sleeps in the same room with him. So he sees that every night, and it's like, damn, I can't do anything. But joke's on him, because he can. He can boxcar race. So, boxcar.
I didn't even want to say he can box.
I would love to watch that movie. Hold on. Nicole, why are you dying? She texted me saying that she's dying. There's a great line in this movie, like he says, beaten by an embryo, about playing chess with someone who's like 2 years younger than him.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Things like, break a window or two and parents freak out. Like, he's very funny. And he also cannot talk to people. He is so bad at communication.
It's great.
Because in his life, he never... it's a very different way to communicate. People will look at you and talk to you differently his entire life. He's in a wheelchair. He can't do anything that his brothers can do. His brother is in therapy about the stress of being the perfect older brother while also having to worry about his younger brother and all this stuff. And it's really, really, really well made in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it turned into the beginning of Hook with his dad trying to get to his son's baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
I love how I'm reminding Joshua what happened in this movie.
It's not that I don't remember. It's just my brain needs to remember.
I think one of the funniest bits to me was that early on they went to a funeral. The funeral was not a big deal. Happened to go to a funeral. And naturally, kids might just start wandering off and they're just daydreaming in their head because it's not always exciting. And the kid started, the main character started thinking, well, what if I died? What would my funeral be like? Which is a natural thought all people have thought in their lives. But, Josh, what happened in this daydream he had?
He starts imagining what people would be saying and thinking at his funeral. And they can't, the pastor that's doing it can't think of anything. He's like, what can I say about this dead child? Oh, yeah, I guess he existed. But his wheelchair, man, that was like some quality wheelchair. I kid you not, that is what they start talking about in his daydream.
And then he literally shouted out loud, what about me at this funeral? At this actual funeral. Out loud. And then never address it.
It's great.
Because, which makes me think, this kind of stuff happens a lot. Where he'll just start wandering, because he daydreams a lot. He also talks to himself a lot.
Yeah.
He also talks to God a lot, and then at one point, God shuts him out and stops responding back.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious. Also, God is a NASCAR racer who is kind of real and knows who he... It's weird. I watched the movie to understand that part, but at one point, his depiction of God comes to his bedside table when he's in a hospital and takes his bedpan, and then when no one knows he was there, and then they see it on TV and he actually has the bedpan with him. So it implies that it really happened. What happened, Josh?
I guess he was just there for some reason at the hospital, and then, like, he had heard about, you know, the soapbox derby and went to visit him. Why he kept the bedpan, though, I don't understand, because it is a bedpan.
And, like, Sully from Brooklyn Nine-Nine is in this. As one of
Scully shows up?
Yeah, as one of his competitors' fathers. And I said Sully. Yeah, Scully. This boy's an idiot, though. Like, this main character, he's dumb. Not in,
he's
like...
He's a lovable idiot, though.
Like, not he's actually stupid, but the way he thinks sometimes, he gets so driven and, like, just, like, blinded by one thing. Like, there's, for instance, he befriends an old man across the street, which is made a part of the story, and that's a good person he's befriending, who everyone just assumes is evil, despite him just being a loner, by, like, living alone. And it's not like no one goes into that house. He's out and about in society, this man across the street. I don't understand why there's always movies of like kids like that house. No one goes in or out. I'm sure he kills kids. I heard he skins cats. I mean, I'm like, I heard all these bad things, but like, no, he's just a dude. And just he's just old. Not even that. He's like six. He's like 65, probably 62. 60, I don't know, something around that age. And he goes shopping. He goes to normal events. He goes to a car show. Like
he's a normal dude.
He just might be a little bit less social. That's literally it. Kids are mean. But our main boy befriends him because he helps him get a trophy. And then when the trophy is delivered, my man's... The man, the boy in the wheelchair, Frankie Muniz, he is so determined to get this trophy, which is the catalyst for the rest of the story, this one event happening. He is dumb. He rolls up to this open garage, sees a box in his garage high up labeled metal, and he thinks literally, it's mine, bruh.
It might just be a box of metal.
And if I recall correctly, it was not the trophy in there. Yeah, it wasn't, it was
just metal.
Yeah. Because the trophy came in the guy's car later on looking for him. And it fell and destroyed the guy's car, which it didn't really do a lot of damage according to the movie, but... And whatever, it created this forced labor friendship. of him helping out around the stuff he destroyed. And then they became besties, even though he is literally just Doc from Cars.
Yep.
And you'd understand if you watched the movie. There's a line near the end of the movie where Frankie Muniz's character is talking to God, and it says, he says, when people get to heaven, blah, 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 and then God says, would you like to see? Bitch, what? Are you going to kill this kid now? And then he just shows him a heaven full of people in wheelchairs flying around.
Get, they're going for, like, a nice message, but, like, it looks ridiculous.
The actual boxcar racing stuff, they made us care about a sport in this, finally.
Yeah, like, it made Soapbox Derby interesting.
Mostly because it made us care about the characters' motivations and their interests and their goals so much that we wanted to root for a character and something that we might not have otherwise cared about. Unlike Brink.
And what's weird is that this comes from the director of Brink.
He learned.
He grew.
I wish media in general treated therapy better, though. That's one thing in this movie I wish they did better. They tried a little bit, but kids are dumb, and he didn't need to hide it or be ashamed of it.
Yeah. He kind of just, like, talks about it, but it doesn't really go anywhere.
Josh, we should make our own Geek Speak boxcar race. Just you and me.
But no competitions, we're just racing it down the streets.
Yeah, but maybe every person we've ever had as a guest has to hop on too.
Yes.
From across the country, just fly, and just to race down a hill.
Well, we don't tell them what they're coming here for.
We promise money and instead give them a boxcar to head down a hill.
Yes, there might be pizza afterwards.
No, I work at a pizza place, no. It's fun. Worth watching. Yeah.
I say it's definitely one of the better DCOMs.
Yes. It's in my top three now, probably. Can of Worms is still probably number one.
Just nothing can top that.
What's our next DCOM, Josh?
I believe it is. Hold on. The next one is Stepsister from Planet Weird. We are back to the nonsense movies.
Hell yes. Please let it be continuously nonsense throughout. Also, the title of this movie, Miracle in Lane 2, is not referencing a sequel. It's referencing he is in Lane 2 in this final race.
But it makes it sound like it's a sequel.
Well, if you call a movie Miracle in Lane, that's a dumb name for a movie. But if it said, like, Miracle in Lane 38, that would not feel like a sequel then. You should have maybe more lanes, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Make it one, Lane 1, because it's still, that would make no confusion. Anyway, yay!
Yay!
Yay! Yas Queen, moving on. We have about 2 weeks worth of news to talk about, approximately. That was a fun voice, I don't know where that came from. Starting with Josh's favorite thing on Earth, his Discord profile picture is also this thing, The Last of Us. The Last of Us show, starring James Earl Jones, nope, starring Pedro Pascal, why did I say James Earl Jones?
I don't know.
The Last of Us show starring Nick Offerman and Pedro Pascal and the others. Elle Fanning? That's not right. Who's playing?
Bella Ramsey.
That's more accurate. I don't want to say Elle Fanning. Her name's Ellie, right? Is that why?
Yes.
Okay, I thought of Elle or Ellie, and I'm like, huh, what's the name for that? That doesn't work right. The Last of Us trailer came out about 2 weeks ago when we last recorded. On the 26th, and now we've watched that, and he loves this trailer. I saw an apocalyptic area, a dude riding a horse, some clicking thing, and some words on a wall, and a big light in a tube. I like being lost.
As someone that has played the games and knows all this stuff, I am so goddamn excited. This looks perfect to me as an adaptation. Like, you got the creator of the game working on it, you have the creator of Chernobyl also making it. Like, it's gonna be great. I love the casting, I love everything about it. This looks so good.
And adaptations, again, should have changed. They should not be a one-to-one story, otherwise why do it? So I'm hoping it's gonna have some fun changes from the original as well, because then it would have a reason to be even existing.
Yes, already in the trailer there is a new character that was not in the game, so I'm curious what she'll be like. It looks like that there's going to be more stuff from another character. Don't know if it'll be exploring her past, but that could also be something. And I think it's 10 episodes, so I would imagine that there's going to be a good amount of additions to it.
And then, like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, for instance, The Walking Dead show introduced Daryl Dixon, played by Norman Reedus, who is not in the comic at all. And he's a fan-favorite character. So I'm excited to see what adaptations can do by adding things like that or making slight tweaks and see how different or interesting they can do. Yeah.
E.
I give this a yay. This looks really fun.
I give it a big yay.
What here most excites you? What thing from the trailer seems like, oh yeah, they're doing that thing or whatever?
I am very excited to see the infected, so like the clickers and stuff, because it seems like they're doing them practically.
They are. Yeah,
I can't wait to see what that looks like in like a realistic way, because that's just gonna be so creepy and great. And there's like even like bigger and like more disgusting versions. I can't wait.
Is it like a fungus that did it to him?
So the basis of the infection that turns them into not just zombies but like these fungal infectious creatures is an actual real thing. In insects and ants, there's a thing called the cordyceps fungus infection. It infects ants and stuff, kills them, sprouts fungus, and, like, you know, takes over, like, the colonies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they took it and put it into, like, you know, what would happen if it happened to humans.
Well, I'm glad. That's cool.
Yes, it is very interesting.
So, yay on this. Other news. Name Namor, the man himself.
He's got the winged feet.
He does. Tanakh Huerta confirms he is a mutant in the MCU, which is fitting because he's Marvel's first mutant in comics, sort of. He is, in our world, their first mutant, because he is a character who existed pre-Marvel when they were still timely comics. And then he was later on became a mutant. Like they said, he's a mutant. So that's why he's the first mutant in comics. And that's fitting because he'll probably be the first official mutant. I know the Kamala Khan thing in the show. Did they say mutation in that show, or did they say mutant? I think it's a mutation.
They said mutation, and then you can hear like the X-Men 90s theme play.
Right. But I think this will be the first time this one says the word mutant on screen.
Yeah, probably.
And that's cool. Yay! He's got his
give yay.
He's got a winged feet! Yeah, boy!
He goes flying. How fast can he fly with those little wing feet? I feel like they gotta be doing a lot of work.
Well, I can bring this to our next point. The second Black Panther trailer came out. Have you watched it?
Yes.
Okay. He does little sky hops. He does little sky jumps. His little bouncies. He does actual video game double jumps in midair.
Someone finally found a way.
I love it. The Black Panther 2 trailer, I wish, showed a little bit less than it showed. I wish it didn't show the end suit at all of someone.
Well, who knows? It might not be the end suit. We all know.
No, I know, but I'm saying the end of the trailer, it showed a suit. I wish that was not shown on screen. I wanted to go into even more maligned for who could be the next Black Panther, but I guess it's kind of addressed that, hey, this is probably Shuri. The movie does not need a mystery behind it. It's about a celebration of Chadwick's life, so... If we stop focusing on who's going to be next, we might focus on who was more. That's probably their intention behind showing that.
I kind of wish we didn't get a second trailer at all, because like you can't top that first trailer. That is like one of those like trailers that's just like it's so perfect in everything that it does. You don't need to sell me on anything else. I don't need to see anything else. I'm there day one.
Yeah, I'm driving 2 hours to go see it.
2 hours? Is it not playing near you?
I'm watching it in IMAX.
Oh.
I have AMC A-list, and there's not an AMC that's like 100 miles from me. It's very
I thought there wasn't an AMC close to you.
There's one, but it doesn't have IMAX or Dolby. It's a very small theater. The Black Panther 2 trailer looked good, though.
Yes, it did.
Oh, wait, the Black Panther 2 trailer number 2. There we go. It looked good. I liked the little hops he did on the air. It was cool seeing more of Ironheart. And that's cool.
Indeed.
We also got confirmation of a queer character in Black Panther 2. Michaela Cole's character in Black Panther Wakanda Forever is queer and falls in love with Florence Kusamba's Ayo, and she said that their forbidden affair causes disruption in the ranks. Cool.
Fun.
we love queerness and we love affairs in the ranks.
Affairs in the ranks is what drives the world.
I'm putting that on a t-shirt next time, Josh.
Good.
We love affairs in the ranks. But not you, Ned Fulmer.
No.
No. I'm actually wearing my Try Guys hoodie currently, and I feel I should cover up one of the Triceratopses. I need a little tape, duct tape, or gaff tape. That's more fitting. Armor Wars is going to be a movie now, not a show, which I'm so happy about, because I don't want to see the CGI like VFX artists stretching those Iron Man suits for 10 episodes, 6 episodes, for 7 hours.
I think Feige is starting to realize, maybe some of this stuff would work better if it was a movie.
Change Secret Invasion to a movie, please.
I mean, kind of can. They've already made it.
I don't care. Cut half of it out. Make it a movie. But Armor Wars being changed to a movie is great. I love that.
Yes, but I think it's funny that we haven't heard anything about it for years. And the first thing is this, we're changing it to a movie now. Is there going to be anything else? No. Cool.
We have a new logo. We got it last time.
Oh, whoopee.
Yay, give Don Cheadle a trilogy.
Yes.
But I'm assuming what happens in here is that he assumes that the tech from Ironheart is from Riri Williams is probably stolen Stark tech, is my guess. And he's like, nah, we need to confiscate that. And she's like, nah, I built it myself. Ah, cool, Wakandans.
I just think it's funny that, Don Cheadle's just like, you, small child, you stole tech, I'm gonna come after you. I'm gonna fight you, small child.
She's not a small child. She's not 5 years old, Josh. She's 17 years old or something. I also heard a theory that she is probably one of the highest achievers on the Wakandan outreach program that they established in the first Black Panther. That could be cool. That could be pretty cool. Because she's from New York, as everyone else is. Everyone's from New York City.
Everyone is from New York. It's weird.
Not Jennifer Walters. She's cool.
She's from San Diego.
Does it explain in the episode I haven't seen yet why Daredevil's not in New York?
Yes, there is a reason for it.
Cool. I'll watch it before next episode. We're going to do a She-Hulk finale recap after episode 9, which is next week. Oh, shit.
Crazy.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
Maybe next week. Don't you mean Thursday?
Oh, shit. So I guess that might be part of our episode next episode. Instead of DCOM, we'll have a She-Hulk talk.
All right.
Because we have a guest. Oh, also, I said last episode we're going to have a guest this episode. Their kid got sick, and they have to reschedule. So, they're still coming. So sad. But yay on Armor Wars becoming a movie, because that's great. They might realize they finally, hey, guys, we don't have enough story for this much. Maybe we condense it down, because some of these shows might not have enough story.
I give yay.
Yay. We have Avatar The Last Airbender news, which is fantastic for my Avatar loving heart to be able to say. We have casting more announcements, some of this is already known, Utkarsh Ambudkar was already announced as Boomy a while ago, and we knew that. But we didn't know that George Takei was playing Ko the Face Stealer. That's news.
That's interesting casting. Ooh. But I'm curious.
George Takei is already in Avatar. He's in book 1, episode... hold on. I'm going to get this right. I'm going to go with episode 5. No, that's what's wrong. Episode 6, imprisoned. When Haru is in prison, he's the warden on the rig.
Oh.
Hold on. I'm going to get it right. Avatar. I want to make sure I get my episode right. I don't want to look like a fool. Book 1, ep 6 is imprisoned? Yeah, fuck yeah, I got it right. Imprisoned. Because episode 5 is Omashu. King of Omashu. I know my episodes of Avatar by heart, like a random normal person. But this casting is great. We also got Amber Midthunder, who was in Prey as Princess Yue.
Yes, I'm so excited for that.
We got an extra confirmation about Danny Pudi, because we got a report a while ago that he was going to be playing the Mechanist, which is Teo's father, and that was confirmed again. I love that still. Arden Cho is playing June, the hunter, the bounty hunter.
What's that name familiar?
Arden Cho, she was in something you've watched. She was in Teen Wolf.
Haven't seen.
Partner Track, The Selection, Agents of Secret Stuff, The Honor List, Chicago Med. What do you know?
She was in the first Tomb Raider game from 2013. Okay, I know who she is.
You know the voice cast of a Tomb Raider game?
I looked it up very quickly.
Okay. A little odd, but okay. Cool. And Utkarsh M. Budkar, who's playing King Bumi, he apparently worked out extremely to get ripped and then put on hours and hours of old man makeup.
That has me excited.
Which is very good. They're not just making him younger. But yay on these casting announcements overall.
Yay.
I cannot wait to see old man ripped Bumi. It's going to be very funny.
Yes.
Just announced at New York Comic Con, we're getting an Azula graphic novel coming this summer, followed by a Mako solo graphic novel. Maybe they can make Mako interesting. Because...
What, you mean a generic man that falls in love with Korra and then afterwards doesn't know what to do?
Becomes
a cop? You tell me he's not interesting?
They made... Mako... He's the Ned Fulmer of the group.
Oh, no.
It's
who's,
true.
Then who's Bumi? Is Bumi Keith?
No, hold... At the group of... Mako, it's Mako, Bolin, Asami, and Korra.
Why did I say Bumi? I knew it was Bolin.
Bolin is a mixture of Zack and Keith, but I'm going to go with Keith. Asami's Eugene. I don't want to call Korra Zack.
Sure.
I don't want to call Korra Zack.
Nah, Korra also has a lot of Keith.
Yeah, she's Keith, and then Bolin's Zack. So, bye, Mako. Who also ends up single. After cheating.
This is all lining up too well.
Oh, but sorry, you guys. Spoilers for Book 1 of Korra. But go watch Book 1 of Korra still, because it's still a great show. And not he's terrible. It's just they didn't know what to do with the character, because the show was going to be a limited run of one season. Nickelodeon kept lying to them and messing with them. And they kept having to change, oh, you're getting more episodes, oh, you're getting fewer episodes, etc. constantly. And so they didn't know what to do for certain characters. Which is not the fault of the writers. But I'd love to read an Azula comic. That sounds cool. Like, of just Azula.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll make Mako interesting. But yay on this.
Yay.
We got multiple Velma newses in the same week.
It's been quite a week for Velma.
And different Velmas. let's start with gay Velma. in the Scooby-Doo movie Trick or Treat, which is animated in like the old like 60s style of Scooby-Doo, which I love, they made Velma canonically a queer one. She is at least interested in women. We don't know if she's lesbian or if she's bisexual or pansexual, but she sees a woman...
She gets cartoony Google eyes for her.
Yes, and if you Google the word Velma, the lesbian pride flag started floating down.
It was great.
So that's great. Yay. Also, it's not news. If you've seen Velma in anything, she was always gay.
It's apparent.
especially in... What was that thing? Mystery Incorporated. Because they tried to make her gay. They were not allowed to at the time. So they made her always off when she was with Shaggy. And then they, to make the audience know, it didn't feel right. And then afterwards, she was more free and more happy. And then in the James Gunn films that he wrote, he was not allowed to make her gay. He wouldn't R-rated movies. He couldn't do it. He was told no a lot. Which, imagine seeing James Gunn's R-rated Scooby-Doo movies.
Oh, God, I would be fascinated to see what those would be like.
Other Velma news, the Velma show. We got the cast list, as well as the character designs. So, awesome.
I am very excited for this. I know Mindy Kaling is voicing Velma. I think she also created it.
Yes, and Sam Richardson, who was just in Hocus Pocus 2 also, is... Norval Shaggy Rogers. People are now learning that Shaggy's name was Norval. Bitch, I've always known. Norval's awesome.
When I first saw it, when it said Sam Richardson is Norval, I'm like, what? And then I had to think for a second. I'm like, oh, wait a second.
Constance Wu was playing an East Asian Daphne. Love that. Oh, yeah. Also, Sam Richardson is playing a black Shaggy, which is awesome as well. And then we have the one white guy is still Fred, which that
I feel like it has to be
Glenn Howerton, who's playing Fred.
If he is not like Dennis Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, what is the point?
Oh, I pictured Glenn Powell just then. Yes. Glenn Howerton. Okay. This is a phenomenal cast. This is a phenomenal decision. There's no Scooby-Doo in this show. So, I don't know about that part. I think at some point, Norval will get a dog.
I think what they're probably going to do is for the first season, see how it works. And if people are really like, I want Scooby in this, then they'll probably add him. But it's going to be weird to see a talking dog in this, because this is like an R-rated, like, you know, more adult version of the Scooby-Doo world.
He doesn't need to talk. You could have it so he only talks during their drug trips.
There you go. That's how you do it.
Or just don't have him talk at all. There's versions of Scooby-Doo where he doesn't, where Scooby's not actually talky, you know, because it's like he's a dog. It's always been kind of implied that he's not actually talking. He's actually, in Mr. Incorporated, he's actually a god. okay, you're from season one. He's a literal deity trapped in the body of an animal.
What? That's amazing.
But yay on all the Velma news.
Yay, indeed.
We get big news with Deadpool 3 happened.
Quite big. Surprising, indeed.
Wolverine, Hugh Jackman is coming back. Yay. And nay.
Yay.
I'm going to say one thing I don't like about this, and I'll move on. And it's not, it has nothing to do with him being in Logan. That's fine. The thing for me I don't like is that it makes it harder for the audiences to move on now to another Wolverine, even harder. Bringing him back keeps him in the public consciousness as Wolverine even longer, so they cast someone else, and it makes it even harder for that person to play Wolverine later on in the MCU.
I think no matter what, though, because of how long he played him, I think no matter what, when it was going to happen, I think that people were going to be like, oh, it doesn't compare to Hugh.
He's already kind of in the MCU here with this movie. But give him the suit. Give him the yellow spandex. Give him the weird, like, weird eyes on his face. The weird wings. You know.
I just want it to be a movie where Deadpool kidnaps Hugh Jackman and makes him reenact all the scenes from the X-Men movies while Hugh Jackman feels like that he's losing his mind.
Yes. Don't have him be Wolverine, have him be Hugh Jackman.
Please, that would be so funny.
They also did a reply video about, what does all this mean? What answer all your questions? And they put music over it while they just said random stuff.
It was great.
Very funny.
I'm so excited.
Lip syncing has been done. Lip reading has been done to see what they're actually saying, and it's things like, and then a boom happens, and then I attack him, and he grabs me, and then we throw each other on the ground, and it's a big party, and, you know, balloons everywhere, and we have fun, and it's meant to be just nonsense talking. So.
Wonderful.
They didn't actually spoil anything of that at all, but it looks fun. Yay?
Oh, hard yay.
We have numerous Blade movie messes happening. And there are rumors that here, which you should take with a grain of salt, but then things were kind of low-key confirmed when the director actually left. We'll get into that in 1 second. Blade movie. Let's start with just the rumored things that happened before the director left. The first thing was that Mahershala Ali, who's playing Blade, was frustrated with the process overall. The script was 90 pages long, which is fine. If it's a really good script and stuff, it's fine. Said it features two lackluster action sequences, which again does not need to be the end-all be-all. Deadpool, the first one, only had about two action sequences also. Not a big deal. And that Kevin Feige was spread too thin and then over all these projects and made it more frustrating, even more so for Mahershala Ali. And that was all via The Insider. Or The Insnider. And reported again in Culture Crave. So, we don't know that that's fully true, but the director did leave after that point. So, we'll get into that 1 second. Josh, taking this as it's true, how would you feel about this?
I feel like that if this was true, some of it could be like cause for concern. Like the Feige stuff, like does make sense just because of everything that's happening. But he also, like, you know, isn't the only one that's, you know, on set as producer, making sure things goes. He's got, you know, executive producers under him that know what he wants. But then, like, the 90 pages script, that one doesn't concern me at all. If you've read movie scripts or if you see movie scripts, you know that, like, that's kind of a general, like, good length. And for action movies, like, they're not supposed to be the most in-depth, like, of written kind of things. Like, hell, Inception's hallway fight scene, it was just all Nolan wrote was they fight. So, like,
yeah,
they could write, like, the most expansive thing ever, or they could write the most minimal thing ever. So, like, you can't really judge an action scene based on how it's written in the script.
Yes, fully agree with that part. I do believe Kevin is probably spread too thin. That's probably true. There's so many projects, and we don't have breathing room between these projects either. Like, I can't keep up, not because I don't want to. I don't have the time right now. And that's kind of upsetting because I get spoiled for things I want to watch. And I think that if they slow down a little bit, it could be beneficial overall. The entire Infinity Saga was in 10 years, and the entire Multiverse Saga is in, like, 5. So I get it. I can understand also being Mahershala and then calling up Feige after he won an Oscar and then saying, hey, I want to be Blade. Getting cast as Blade officially about 2 years later when it was announced, and then nothing happens with it, really. That'd be very frustrating.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
So if that's all true, I'm giving that part an A. It's sad. I have more news on this, though, Josh, because things kept coming and they don't stop coming.
As always.
So the script for Blade after that point was reportedly being rewritten from scratch, with Bo DeMeo leading the overhaul after impressing Kevin Feige with writing on Moon Knight and the upcoming X-Men 97 series. And that's from the direct. Interesting if that's true, being rewriting completely from scratch.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, from scratch, we obviously don't know. I'm willing to bet that there's still going to be elements from the original draft that'll make its way into this new one.
That's still from scratch, though. That means they're starting from page one, rewriting something.
No. I know that. Like, The Rise of Skywalker, the original writers still had credit on the new script from Abrams and Chris Terrio. Like, they still use stuff from their versions. What they use, obviously, we don't know. But I'm willing to bet that stuff is going to transfer from the original to this new one.
Yeah, it's messy. It's a big mess. And then the last part of this is they got a new director now. So, also, the movie was supposed to start production 4 days ago, originally. And it comes out next year. So,
I'm willing to bet they'll push it back. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal if they push it back.
They lost the director, Bassam Tariq, and have they been replaced yet, actually?
They haven't been replaced, but I think because of, like, you know, the delays of the production, he had to leave it because of scheduling conflicts with other stuff. I've been hearing people say, like, Jordan Peele should direct it. I kind of want him to just direct more original stuff.
I agree. Overall, interesting, though.
It is interesting, indeed. I'm still looking forward to it, though.
Overall, in this Blade news, I'm giving it a nay, because it's a little sad seeing stuff going poorly for Marvel at any point.
Yeah.
Caleb McLaughlin, who you might know from Stranger Things, who plays Lucas in that show, he wants to play Static from Static Shock in live action.
Ooh.
I don't think that DC is in a place right now where that will work out.
Anything DC announces, I'm like, I'm sure that's going to happen.
I'm fine with this casting, though.
If it happened, I'm sure. Why not?
Yay.
I give yay.
Ready to get mad, Josh?
Oh, always.
MGM Plus is happening.
Why?
Another streaming service solely for MGM.
But they're owned by Amazon.
I know.
There's no point to this.
I know. Amazon's going to make even more money this way.
This doesn't make... Okay, whatever. Sure.
You upset?
I'm upset. I'm not going to subscribe until they realize that they have no subscribers and have to do like a $20 for a whole year subscription like Peacock did recently.
So, nay.
Oh, big nay. Not everything needs a streaming service, but companies don't seem to understand this.
Here's a fun thing. Let's say it's one like it's true, okay? It's a rumor right now. The rumor is that Harrison Ford was approached by Marvel as a top choice to replace Hurt as General Thaddeus Ross in Thunderbolts. And maybe going forward, but he's like 80 years old, and he hates his life, so we'll see what happens. We don't know if he turned it down yet or not, or if he accepted it, or if whatever. If it's true, Josh, thoughts?
This man would not care at all. He'll be like, fine, I'll do it for the money. But, like, he would be driven more insane in interviews, I think, for this than he would be for, like, Star Wars. Because, like, people would be asking him, like, what do you think of, like, interacting with all these, like, superheroes and characters in this world? He'd be like, who?
He'd be forced to play dumb games with interviewers of, like, okay, which person's beard is this? Whose arm is that?
He would lose his mind.
I want to see his casting solely for the PR. Oh, that media interview cycle would be so much fun to watch Harrison Ford be insane. Also, he has no mustache, so it's a nay. He currently has no mustache.
He can grow one.
Also, where does Thaddeus Ross's mustache go when he becomes Red Hulk? It's never addressed in comics ever.
So, like, it just disappears when he becomes Red Hulk?
Yeah. Oh, and it goes right back.
That's weird.
It's like Jed's hair or, like, Bruce's hair. That changes almost every time when they change. Fascinating.
Yeah, no, it's just a Hulk thing, I guess.
I'm more impressed with the growing back of the hair, the mustache every time. It's like, yeah, you needed this. Come back. I want this to be true. I would like him to publicly say, I turn this shit down. Also, I generally think that you can recast almost any actor if they pass, but that's not out of disrespect, because usually that character doesn't belong to an actor, etc. Thunderbolt Ross is a cool character who I think you can continue on with, but if he signed up for this, he'd do it for maybe maximum two films, right?
He would not do it for, like, you know, 20-plus films. He'd probably be like, it's either one and done or maybe a trilogy, and that's a big maybe.
I'm looking up his age.
He's about 80.
He's 80, exactly.
Yeah.
So, he also couldn't do this for maybe 10 more years anyway. Just because living. That's sad to think about. All right, moving on. I give this a yay. Make him our new Red Hulk, please.
I'll give it a yay. The PR would be a nightmare.
Community movie's officially happening again. Like, it's been confirmed by the cast. Cool.
Makes me very happy.
Awesome. Moving on from that, I'm happy with that. Oh, yeah, Season's Beatings, the David Harbour movie. We got a trailer for Violent Night, a R-rated, like, abduction-saving movie, Die Hard style, with David Harbour as Santa Claus.
I love fun and insane ideas like this, so this makes me very happy.
Yay.
I give yay.
We also got a trailer. We got an announcement that they're making a Five Nights at Freddy's movie under Blumhouse.
Yes, which, this has been in the work for like since like 2015 or something like that. I think originally Chris Columbus was attached to direct at one point, but he might have stepped. I know he stepped down from director. He might still be on as like a producer. And apparently, they're using Jim Henson's animatronics studio to make the animatronics for this. So that has me excited.
Cool. Dottie is returning in Coven of Chaos from WandaVision.
Which, right. I mean.
Which definitely leads to the theories that people had out she's more than just a civilian there. So who knows?
Yeah, I'm very curious what Coven of Chaos Mephisto is going to be like.
Make her Mephisto officially.
Marvel's just going to keep teasing Mephisto, but it's never going to show Mephisto.
Make everyone else vindicated that she actually is Mephisto the whole time. Because she said one line that the devil's in the details. That's why.
I love Marvel fans just picking apart like the smallest little things. Is that like, you know, that's something big. It's just like, she just said words.
Destin Daniel Cretton, who directed Shang-Chi, is officially confirmed to be directing Kang Dynasty. He confirmed it himself this time.
Yay.
I'm
excited. I'm still curious who they're going to pick for Secret Wars.
I don't know. They have a writer, which I'm not going to talk about today. I have on the notes. I'm looking at it right now. I don't want to talk about it, so we're not going to talk about the writer for Secret Wars. I don't want to get mad right now. We don't have time for it. Mario movie trailer happened, though, Josh.
You know what? I'm honestly looking forward to it. The animation looks really good. Jack Black as Bowser surprised me. Like, he's got a great voice for it. Chris Pratt as Mario is exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Like, here we come.
It's the weirdest, like, New York-type accent. At least he's doing an accent.
Is he, though? Maybe he's doing on some lines.
He's doing something. That's all that matters.
He is doing something. Oh, God.
It kind of makes me mad, though, that people are just like, oh, he's a terrible voice actor. He's not. He just isn't a voice actor that does, like, different voices.
Yeah, there's a lot of voice actors who do their own voice. Many voice actors do their own voice. It's not uncommon. But then don't cast Chris Pratt.
But not, money. This is Illumination.
It's Mario would make money.
But and Illumination, they need celebrities. Have you seen the Sing movies?
I think it should have gone a route like Ben Schwartz, how it's a voice similar to the original games, but unique enough that it can work.
Yeah, because like I don't know if it was you or Taj that sent it, but like there was an ad for a Mario sports game like from like a decade ago. It's like 10 minutes and it's Charles Martinetti as Mario, full on like speaking full sentences and stuff as Mario for 10 minutes. It's
no offense to Charles Martinet, but it's not pleasant.
There's a reason that there aren't extended dialogue sequences for Mario and why he only says like 5 words.
I don't like that he said, Mushroom Kingdom, here we come, instead of Mushroom Kingdom, here we go.
I mean, that was probably a line just, like, made for the trailer, I'm willing to bet.
I think he phoned it in at home. Quite literally phoned it in at home.
Well, I think that's what they all had to do because of COVID and everything.
That man's insane. Anyway, this movie looks really fun. The cast is phenomenal. Hearing just Charlie Day's grunts and noises as Luigi works so well.
So I saw someone put like a clip from It's Always Sunny like over the little Luigi clip of it. It works too well.
Did you know that those are the penguins from Mario 64?
I did not know that. I was very confused when I saw penguins because I rarely see penguins in Mario.
It also looks stunning. It's gorgeous.
Illumination their animation keeps getting better. Now the writing doesn't. Which is a shame, but, like, they look amazing every time.
Now, Josh, so yay overall in this trailer?
I'll give it a yay.
Keegan-Michael Key alone, fantastic Toad. Everyone is trying so hard besides Chris Pratt.
I would say he's not trying hard, he's just not trying in the right way.
He's not trying at all to me. But do a whole Sonic 180. Bully the studio, get someone else now.
They know to not recast Chris Pratt because they know people are going to be like, I have to go see this just to see if it works or not. It's what's going to lead to Garfield's success. I think that's why they cast him in Garfield.
To me, Garfield for him worked better than Mario, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
At least cast someone who has a Brooklyn accent. You know what it's time for?
Things that it's we say words to.
Spooky time!
Ooh,
spookies. We are in October now. It's October 9th while we're recording this. So, as always, though, news comes out an hour after we're done. That's huge. Every single time it happens. Like, the last one's trailer dropped last time. It happens constantly.
It's so funny.
So, that's going to happen again. But that's why I say what day it is, so people know, hey, if news comes out. Also, if we didn't talk about something that happened this past 2 weeks that you want us to have talked about, email it in. We'll talk about it next time. Send an email to podgeekspeak@gmail.com, and we'll talk about whatever you want us to talk about. We'll talk about what's better, a hot dog or a taco. We'll talk about what's going to win in a fight, a grilled cheese or a cup. You never know. So, whatever you want. It's a time of spooky season.
It is.
There are a lot of very fun and good spooky movies to watch this month before Hallow's Eve.
Indeed.
Not just horror, but spooky movies in general that are really fun. And yes, any Scooby-Doo you can pick, that's fine. I'm going to choose at least one Scooby-Doo movie on this list, and then the rest will be probably non-Scooby-Doo related, because otherwise it's just a whole lot of movies from one franchise. Do you have a first pick for a good spooky movie to get people in the spooky time mood, Josh?
A recent one that I really enjoyed that gave me good spooks was Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Isn't that not a horror film?
Is that not a horror film, no, or is it?
Is it?
I mean, I guess so.
I'm trying to say non-horror films, Josh. Come on. Well,
I have more things on the list.
Okay, cool. But it's a good one. It's a good, though, one.
Yes. If you grew up with the books as a kid and love, like, the creepy monster designs and stuff, then this will definitely float your boat.
What is it like? Is it, like, a little vignette, different stories?
No. Rather than doing, like, an anthology type of thing, it actually is telling, like, one whole story, but it figures out a interesting way to bring all the stories together and make it work. Well, not all the stories, so it's only, like, a couple of them. But I found it to be interesting and surprisingly creepy for a movie that technically isn't aimed for kids, but it also is because they were kids' books.
Interesting. I would also say people should watch the Halloween 10 movies, which we've talked about those movies on this podcast so far. I think we still have at least one to go.
Wait, we can't watch Stepsister from Playing Weird. We gotta watch the other two Halloween Town movies.
Both of them?
There's only two of them. We can do it.
Okay. That'll be fun. So we have Halloween Town 3 and 4 next, I guess. Joy! I would say a good spooky movie to watch is, if you like Scooby-Doo, go watch On Zombie Island. It's a fantastic movie.
Yes.
It's great. It's my favorite Scooby-Doo movie. It's the first one where monsters were real in the universe. And it follows the gang when they are together at, like, they're all separated in life. They've all gone on. They've moved on. Velma runs a bookshop. Daphne's a reporter. Fred's her little lapdog cameraman. Shaggy's just doing shit.
He's doing what Shaggy does, and he's just vibing.
It's a good time. It's very fun, though. I think he's in a chef or something, but it's a really fun movie. It's very spooky. It maybe ignore the Confederate zombies being the good guys, but other than that, it's really fun. What next for you, Josh, in the list of spookies?
The Jack Black Goosebumps movie.
I've yet to see it.
It was a lot of fun. It's not like the show or books where it kind of like just chooses one. It's basically like all of R.L. Stine's creation, who Jack Black plays, they come like to life. They spring out of the books. The kids got to figure out like, oh, how do we stop this? It's a lot of fun.
Nice. We watched last year at Halloween Beetlejuice, which has no plot.
It really doesn't, but it's one of those films that doesn't need the plot to work.
I also don't like Beetlejuice the character himself in that movie. He's kind of just a sexual predator. But
yeah, it's a bit weird when you look at the plot, but like he's also a demon, so I mean it makes sense.
It's really fun though, and it's fun Tim Burton vibes, and Winona Ryder is being young Winona Ryder, and she's being very fun and silly, and having to be all drab and dreary like this for a lot of the movie.
The whole cast is fantastic.
Yeah, it's the McAllister mom is in it.
Oh, she's so great.
It's good, though. Good movie. It's fun. Ooh, that's a fun one, Josh. Ghostbusters.
That is a fun one.
Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters Afterlife and Ghostbusters 2016 are all fun. I've not seen
Ghostbusters 2 is eh.
I've not seen it. But people give way too much hate on the 2016 one for it being women. It's still fun.
That was the first time I remember just seeing, like, so much hate just because it was women. I'm like, this is stupid. You're all idiots.
It's just the same. It's just a cast of comedians having fun, like how the first one was. They shouldn't have all been the funny one. That's part of kind of a problem. But other than that, it was a really good time. Some jokes overstayed their welcome. Some were not enough. The third act kind of falls apart a bit. Chris Hemsworth is a delight. It's really fun.
Yep.
Spooky. I think the first one is still the best out of all of them. But that's just because their chemistry is amazing.
Yeah, I'd go first, then Afterlife, then 2016, then 2.
Is 2 worth watching still?
I mean, like, because
like the Halley movies, they're all bridges in the timeline. It goes Ghostbusters 1, and then Ghostbusters 2. It goes Ghostbusters 1, and then 2016. It goes Ghostbusters 1, and then Afterlife. They're not at all connected in that way, which I think is really fascinating.
Well, no, 2016 doesn't exist in that world. It's a whole separate thing.
That's right.
Afterlife technically is the true third Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah, but you also ignore the second one a bit there. It's fine. Fun, though.
Yes. Next up for me is Monsters vs. Aliens.
Really?
I enjoy it. I love the cast, and I think that it's a fun premise. It's not like a Halloween type of movie, but, like, you know, it's got monsters in it. It's like, why not? It's got what the title promises.
No, this one's horror, but not horror in the fact that it's not meant to be scary, but it's, like, has horror elements. But What We Do in the Shadows by Taika Waititi. if you don't like Taika Waititi's MCU films, doesn't matter. It's not like that at all. It's very fun, though. It is a delight. It's got vampires and werewolves, and it's got some more seriouser things in it, but it's a mockumentary about vampires.
It's great. I love it.
It's very fun. And it's now a TV show as well. That's doing pretty well, I think.
Yeah, from what I've seen of the show, it's very funny.
Do you enjoy the movie?
I do. It is very funny. I don't think it's, like, my favorite of his, but it's still very good.
I've only seen his MCU films, that film, and Hunt for the Wilder People.
You gotta see Jojo Rabbit. That's good.
Hunt for the Wilder People is still so far my favorite of his films.
That is also very good.
Honestly, a lot of Tim Burton movies you can just consider under the spooky umbrella, like Corpse Bride, even Batman, like his original one, is spooky vibes.
Well, definitely more Batman Returns.
Yeah. Casper. Casper is really fun.
I haven't seen Casper in a very long time.
Casper is in the same has the same energy to me as Haunted Mansion, but I don't remember Haunted Mansion. I remember Casper.
I think I've seen most of Haunted Mansion.
It's got Eddie Murphy.
I don't know. I know it does.
And now they're making it with ScarJo.
But aside from, like, Jared Leto being in that, like,
he's
the cast
in it?
Is the new one.
Oh, the
he's
new one.
It.
Oh.
The new one.
I thought you meant the original one.
No.
Yeah, I know. That's the new one seems fun still. What the fuck is Spooky Buddies?
I just loved that, like, for the longest time, Disney just saw the Air Bud series. It was just like, let's make them puppies and let's have them, like, go to space and, like, save Santa.
Right, Air Bud was just a dog doing sports. It was more logical than this.
Well, the first Air Buddies movie, like, was more logical. That they were just like, screw it, let's launch him into space and see what happens.
If I'm correct, in Air Bud, he doesn't, like, talk either in any sense. Like, in this one, they have telepathic dog communication in these movies.
Look, I find it best to not question it.
Have you seen Double Toil and Trouble? I've not seen that. It's on Hulu.
I don't know what that is.
It's from 93.
That doesn't help.
Okay. Young Frankenstein's good spooky.
That is a fun time.
You were in the musical.
I was. It was fun.
Who did you play, Josh, to tell the audience?
I played Victor Frankenstein, the grandfather of the main character, Frederick Frankenstein. I get to yell at him and sing a song to him that he's an idiot.
Frankenstein?
Yes.
I've not watched the movie in a long time. I watched it one time in a car.
It's very fun.
Go ahead, Josh.
The Babysitter movies on Netflix. Those are a lot of fun.
We should have done this as a draft pick.
Nah.
Babysitter movies? So they are worth watching then.
Oh, yeah, they are tons of fun.
Okay, I've not watched them yet because I'm like, this looks weird, but I guess I'll give it a chance then.
They're fun horror comedies. And I say horror lightly. They're really not like at all intended to be scary. They got the fun vibes of it, but the cast is just so good.
Nice.
Robbie Amell is in it, and he's so funny. Yes.
All of Adam's Family is spooky vibe.
Yeah. I still need to see them before the Wednesday show.
We can watch them together. It'd be fun. Have you watched Coraline? I've not seen it.
I actually recently rewatched it. I saw it when I was a kid, and it terrified me so much that I never wanted to see it again. And then I finally rewatched it. I'm like, it's not bad. Stop motion is, of course, fantastic and beautiful. It's from the director of Nightmare Before Christmas, and it's based on a book by Neil Gaiman. Creative premise, and just, again, creepy, but in a good way. It's a nice horror movie for kids to be able to watch.
Wait, the next Halloween Town movies are Return to Halloween Town and Halloween Town High?
I think it's Halloween Town High, then Return to Halloween Town.
Either way, oh god.
I'm excited.
Honestly,
maybe we'll get that block face kid again.
A good spooky one that's a DCOM is Don't Look Under the Bed.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun one. It has spooky vibes.
The Hotel Transylvania series, that is a fantastic series to watch during Halloween.
Have you seen that movie?
You gotta be a little bit more specific than
Monster
that.
House?
Back when I was a kid.
I watched it for the first time in 2019. I don't like it that much. I don't like the animation for it. Like, it kind of weirds me out.
It is a weird style for a Sony animated movie.
But I learned it's not fully animated. It's all motion capture. They acted all of it.
Interesting.
There's footage. Like, you can see them. Like, it's fully performance capture. That's why it looks rougher and weirder, because it's completely CG. It's just they tried to make it look like an animated CG cartoon by doing mocap, and it turned out a little weird.
Yeah, because, like, the year before that came out, Polar Express did motion capture, but it was a lot more smooth.
Yeah, and I think that's why this one looks worse, but it's still cool they did that. Go ahead, watch that, y'all. It's fun. Girl vs. Monster is a DCOM we have to watch at some point, Josh.
I remember seeing the ads for that when I was a kid.
Came out in 2013.
You know what? I don't care. I'm going to say the Venom movies. They're not really horror movies, but you know what? Screw it. Why not? They're fun.
Oh, God. That's funny. Specifically
the second one. If you watch any, watch the second one. That one you'll have the most fun with.
My favorite movie to watch on Halloween is Nightmare Before Christmas. I think it's great vibes. I think it's a great time. I know. It's a Christmas movie. It's a Halloween movie. Whatever. Watch it on both. It works on either holiday. Did you watch Muppets Haunted Mansion?
Not yet. I might.
It's not great, because it's fun, but Kermit's voice pisses me off.
I hate the new actor so much.
Did you see recently there was an ad spot that involved Kermit, and they were not trying at all?
I don't know what's up with him, but I don't like it. No one likes it. Why haven't they changed him? I may hate this movie, but I love the Halloween vibes of it. The Adam Sandler, Hubie Halloween Netflix movie. I hate the movie, but I love the vibes of Halloween in it.
So it, like, is spooky?
No.
Okay.
But just, like, it's so drenched in Halloween that, like, I gotta respect it for that. But, like, I don't like it. I don't think it's funny. I know there's people that like it and think it's funny. Like, more power to you. So, like, if you like Adam Sandler movies, like his comedies, then you'll probably like this one if you haven't seen it.
I know we've mentioned it earlier, but we've not mentioned during the segment. Hocus Pocus, both of them.
Oh, yeah.
We already said our opinions on it earlier, but, like, that's spooky. It's fun. Yeah. The first one talks about sex a lot.
It does. It's kind of funny.
It's, like, about not just about being a virgin, but they talk about a bus driver in that movie. And it's like we're looking for children. He's like, it's going to take me a few tries, but I can get there. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's got a surprising amount of adult humor for a Disney movie.
The second one does not have as much of that stuff.
That doesn't surprise me.
But it does still talk about virgins, and there's a kid in that movie who asks their mom, what's a virgin in the movie? And they gave an answer. So, That's fun.
I just rewatched this recently. Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
That's spooky?
In certain ways, it's much more of an action kind of movie. And, like, I hadn't seen it in almost a decade. It held up way more than I thought it did. Like, it's got some surprisingly, like, good effects, like, practical-wise. Like, there's a troll in it done entirely practical. Like, it's kind of amazing. And, like, the rest of the film I think is fine, but, like, it's honestly fun.
In 2 episodes from now will be our episode about Halloween Ends.
Oh, yay.
So that should hopefully be a more fun than our last episode, last Halloween, about Halloween Kills. Because that one was not... it was fun, but
not the way it intended.
Nothing happened. And now it's been 5 years since Michael Myers disappeared. Explain that, please.
Like, the man likes to kill, and he was just like, oh, I'm going to rest for a couple of years.
But also, just the fact that he even got away makes no sense of how it worked.
Again, why did they not shoot him in the head? They had guns.
That small town definitely had guns.
I don't get it.
The Nun. I've not watched it. It's horror, but I just saw it on the spooky list here. Is it good?
I haven't heard good things. It's one of those Conjuring spinoff films that just, like, I've not heard great things about. If there's any Conjuring movies to watch, watch the first and second one. And then the second Annabelle movie is actually really good. That's a prequel, so you don't need to see the first one. And then the third one is fine. It's not great. And then the third Conjuring movie is eh.
That's interesting. This says that on this list of, oh god, on adolescent movies for spooky movies, Halloween, an adolescent flick. Also under spooky movies is The Goonies. I don't agree with that.
I guess there... No?
Yeah.
There's like one or two creepy scenes, but like it's not a horror movie.
It's not spooky either.
It's kids going to find pirate treasure.
I guess Nosferatu works for that. It's not really a true horror. It's the story of Dracula, but they couldn't have rights for it, so they just renamed him. That's literally it. That can work. That's spooky. We need more spooky movies, I'm learning. Josh, pick the top 3 best horror movies that fit the vibe of Halloween to you, besides Halloween itself.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go with Scream for the first one.
Yeah, Scream's a good one. They fit the vibes of Halloween. Oh, that's tough.
Or something that you should watch for Halloween time.
Trick or Treat, that one, fits the vibes very well.
What's that one with So You Think, that series? Is that good for that?
Fear Street. But that one I think can also fit well. But Trick or Treat's an anthology film that is a bunch of different like small stories set during Halloween night. Very fun.
Fun.
The Cabin in the Woods, I would say, is one that, because it buys so much about the horror genre that it could work perfectly for Halloween.
I don't know. There's a lot of fun movies. The Halloween series, I think, is still a fun Halloween time horror series. We've seen some of those movies. Josh, maybe this year we should watch Halloween 2, the actual sequel.
Which Halloween 2? There's two of them.
Not H2O.
That's no, not that one.
Oh, The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. That fits spooky vibes.
Anything by Mike Flanagan, so like Dr. Sleep, Hush, just Midnight Mass, just any kind of thing he's made, yes. He also just has a new Netflix series out called The Midnight Club, where it's a bunch of kids in a hospital that tell spooky stories to each other, and it starts to go bad when I think they start to come alive. I think that's the premise.
Another good horror movie to watch around Halloween, if you want to watch an actual like scary horror movie, It, I think, would be a good one.
Yes, that is a great one to choose for that.
Because it's a good... It has clowns, you know, that's always spooky.
Clowns are spooky for some people.
They are. I don't get it.
I mean, you know, if it's like, you know, Pennywise, where he's trying to murder me, sure, I could be spooked by that.
We can watch Mater and the Ghostlight.
I have seen that.
Isn't there also a Shrek Halloween special?
Yes, there is, and it's wonderful.
Actually, a lot of TV show special, like cartoon, have Halloween specials, and they're usually pretty fun. Like, there's a really fun Fairly Odd Parents one.
Yeah, the Fairly Odd Parents one is great. Gravity Falls has a great one.
That's true. Summerween.
Of course, The Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror. Oh, the Brooklyn Nine-Nine Halloween specials.
Oh, of
Halloween
course!
Heist.
Yes! I think the Halloween Heist is the perfect way to end this with spooky, fun vibes that's not horror-y that everyone should go watch. You can watch them out of context besides one of them.
I think it's like the last two. I think. Well,
because I don't want without spoiling the entire show. The last two.
Yeah.
And I'm going to end our thing with a super weird story, as always. You ready for it, Josh?
Hit me.
Okay, I'll punch you when I see you again.
I don't know.
You deserve it. I'm kidding. I'm pulling out my book again, The League of Regrettable Superheroes.
Cool.
Because we usually get fun things from this, even though they're usually nonsense. Here's one that's not all spooky. Are you ready for it? The super weird story is called Nature Boy. He does not wear pants, first off.
What?
Was
he sitting in like a pot with like dirt around him?
No. He is wearing tights, like how Robin didn't used to wear pants, just the tights and the boots. Same kind of idea. He wears a bright yellow spandex long sleeve shirt and a big red belt. And that's his clothes. He's created by Jerry Siegel and John Buscema. Now, if you don't know, Jerry Siegel is one of the co-creators of Superman. So that's fun.
Okay, so this is like in the 40s or 50s?
1956.
Okay, so this makes a little bit more sense.
By Charlton Comics. He's the master of wind, rain, and fire. So he's the Avatar. He, of course, came out during the Comics Code Authority. So, get ready for some nonsense.
Okay.
So, the most... Jerry Siegel's most famous creation was with Joel Schuster creating Superman, but he also created dozens of other characters, and one of which we talked about before was Funny Man. But he's also created characters like the Star Spangled Kid, and Stripesy, and Robot Man, and Mr. Muscles, and Nature Boy, which is this character. The story of Nature Boy begins in a private plane. Of course, he's rich. Tossed by terrible winds over a rocky sea. Inside, Myra Crandall snaps at her husband, Floyd. You were out of your mind to take the baby and me along a sky joyride, despite weather warnings. And then he says, no time for reclamations. Okay.
All right.
The plane nosedives immediately into the tumultuous waves below.
Just imagine it's just like flying normally, then...
Floyd and Myra are rescued by a passing fishing boat. But baby David is nowhere to be seen and is assumed drowned. That is, until he shows up unharmed at the front door of the Crandall family estate only moments later. What?
Okay.
Delivered on a gust of wind.
Was this the Grinch?
So, the baby lost at sea was actually picked up and flown all the way to the right house. That's amazing.
What great wind.
Right? Thank you, air. Oh, that's funny. What happened in the interim? It seems that baby David's sinking form was intercepted by a council of gods who were hanging out underwater for no apparent reason.
Cool.
Taking pity on the poor infant, the deities adopted him as their own and then returned him to his family home. Evidently, adoption means something different to supernatural figureheads. Is he Percy Jackson?
Yes.
David grows up to become Nature Boy, a crusader for good, and trusted with a fraction of the power of his adopted godparents, only a few of whom are familiar to anyone who gave Edith Hamilton's mythology a passing glance. I don't know what that means, but that's fine. There's the well-known Neptune, but also Gusto, the god of air.
Gusto.
Fura, ruler of fire. Eartha, who, predictably enough, rules the earth. Of course. And then Allura, Azura, Electra, and Frigga, who command the realms of love, sky, electricity, and cold. Frigga does not command cold, to my knowledge, in Norse mythology, so that's interesting. His title also featured the appearance of Nature Man, possibly Nature Boy, as an adult, and Nature Girl, who protected the jungle by wielding the powers of gravity. What the fuck?
Okay.
Oh, I'm almost done. This is not a very long story. Unusual for a superhero, Nature Boy needed to appeal to his benefactors to deliver the tools to fight crime and injustice. Lightning bolts, which he was able to ride, powerful winds, earthquakes, and so on. Pretty much the only power David seemed to acquire on his own is the ability to change back and forth between his heroic and civilian identities, which he does in a flash, accompanied by his genuinely odd, if enthusiastic, exclamation, "Let her rip!" So this man shouts, this boy, who was an infant, adopted by gods, delivered back to his house, shouts, "Let her rip!" And then suits up in a yellow spandex shirt, tights, no pants, and boots.
I would to see this adapted to modern day and have his catchphrase still be that.
Imagine him being one of She-Hulk's, clients.
Oh god, that'd be amazing.
He was, in short, one of the few superheroes who had to ask permission to use his powers. That is the entirety of all...
Mom, can I use my powers?
No, son, the gods are too busy. Isn't that stupid?
That's so dumb, I love that.
It's fantastic.
I say bring Nature Boy back, you cowards.
He's the newest member. He replaces Ezra Miller's Flash in the Justice League.
Yes.
Oh,
is,
dear God.
Is Nature Boy DC or Marvel?
Charlton Comics, which I don't think exists anymore in any sense.
So I'm going to throw him into DC then.
Because he's created by one of... Hold on. Yeah, Charlton Comics ended in 1986.
Sounds about right.
Were they bought by anyone? I'm not sure. I don't care enough to figure that out.
I think both DC and Marvel saw Nature Boy. They're like, nah, we don't want to buy you.
But how amazing is that?
That's wonderful.
I just love that. Why'd you bring your child and your wife on this trip in the dangerous weather? No time! Crash. Oh, where's our baby? Well, so it didn't say what happened to his parents, because they were rescued, but we don't know past that point, really, what happened.
They're Tarzan's parents.
But they were rescued, it said, by a fishing boat.
Well, then they were just like...
Moments later, the baby went to the house. That baby's going to die, right?
Yeah, the baby's fine.
If the baby's alone and they're out at sea, the parents, that makes no sense.
Again, the baby is fine. There's no need to question it.
Well, that was fun. That was our episode today. Enjoy the spooky season, everyone. But you can email the show at podgeekspeak@gmail.com or tweet at us with #geekspeakpod or, you know, just geekspeakpod on Twitter. And we will reply to you either in the tweet or email, but 100% you'll get a reply on the show. Josh,
indeed.
Where can people find you online?
Oh, I'm in places. You can go to YouTube with Josh Rudolph. I do movie reviews and other stuff. It's fun times over there. Twitter at @J_Rudy28, Instagram at @J_Rudy16, and TikTok at @Rudy_TheFilmNerd.
And you can find me on Twitter at @TheTheaterNerd, and you can find me on TikTok and Instagram at @ThatNerdInTheater. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. If you're new, please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you're on right now, and consider leaving, or if you're on YouTube, leave a like. Please subscribe every place you can and follow. It means a lot to us. All right, bye!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.